And today, from Matthew chapter 1, Jesus, Savior of the world. Praise God that we have a Savior. Amen. In our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 1 and 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the birth of Jesus from Joseph's perspective, looking at it from the perspective of the man who was espoused, engaged, I guess we would say, to Mary. The espousal period was usually about a year, could be longer, but usually it was about a year, and it was a promise, it was a covenant that was usually arranged by the parents between the couple, and they would come together and they would commit themselves to each other for the future. Really, the word espousal really means for the future. Has to do about what's going to happen, not what is happening. So they didn't live together. They weren't actually married, but they were legally married during this period of time. And so Joseph was committed to her. We don't know much about Joseph, except we do know that the Bible says he was a just man. He was a righteous man, a good man, and apparently committed to God and committed to this vow, this covenant that he had made. And so the Bible says that he decided to not put her away, or actually to not stone her, which under the law he had the right to bring her before the elders. And for this act that he assumed was an act of adultery or fornication, he could, by the law, have brought her and made a public example of her and had her publicly humiliated and even stoned to death if he would have chosen to do so. But he didn't do that. Says he was a just man. He was a righteous man. And he brought her, or instead, he decided to put her away secretly, to divorce her secretly so as not to make a big show of it, just to do it quietly, privately. And it was likely because of the fact that he cared about Mary, and he certainly cared about the promise and the covenant that was made. And so this account is about this Christmas story from Joseph's perspective. And so it has to do with his response and his reaction, but it also has to do with the mission of Jesus, why he came into the world. Why Jesus came into the world. All of this fanfare, all that we do celebrating Christmas, we have to keep in mind the importance of the message. And the message is that Jesus came into the world to save sinners, just like you and me. Praise God for Jesus, our Savior. Actually, the name literally means Jesus, Savior, Yeshua, or salvation, or the God of salvation. That's not just a title that he was given. That describes who he was And what he came to do was to bring hope and salvation to all of the world. That was prophesied in many places, but in the book of Isaiah, in a couple of places, I'll read one, Isaiah 7 and 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us, or God in human form. God is with us. That's what Jesus came to do, and he came to take on humanity and to bear the flesh of humanity and to come into the world so that he could be the Savior. Someone said he became the Son of Man so that we could be sons of God. Praise the Lord. He was willing to go to the cross. He was willing to come and to condescend into this world. And thank God that he did just that. I love the supernatural aspect of all that happens in the Christmas story. I've mentioned a couple of times the angelic appearances and also the Holy Spirit activity, the work of the Spirit of God in various places in the Christmas story. And it's wonderful when you see the supernatural at work in bringing about this wonderful, wonderful salvation. It was a plan of God. It was the plan of the ages. He was slain from the foundation of the world. God knew that man was going to be sin. They were going to sin. We were going to turn towards sin and fall into sin. And then by our nature, be born sinners. Yeah. Born into sin. The most innocent little baby that you hold in your arms also has not only that sweet little nature, but they also have that sinful, Adamic nature in them. And it will show up pretty soon. They're innocent now, but it will show up and you'll start seeing evidence of the fact that they have that nature, that sinful nature. And the children can come to the knowledge and come to an age that they can understand what it means to be saved. And even little children can be born again and set free from their sin. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If they're 6 years old or 60 years old, doesn't really matter. He came into this world to save sinners. Praise God. The supernatural aspect of this story, when Joseph heard, it just says that she was found to be expecting a child of the Holy Ghost. When she was espoused to Joseph, but before they came together and actually were married and living together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And I was talking this over with Brother Bowman because he was bringing up a question that there didn't seem to be an answer to, and I'm not sure that there is, a question about whether or not Joseph knew how that he knew that Mary was expecting. Did she tell him, or was it obvious, or what? You know, I don't know that there is an answer to that question. It just says she was found. It became information that came at least to an inner circle of people that she was with child. And this was something that no doubt, I mean, the natural response, such as Joseph had, would be your response and my response as well. The same kind of a natural response. There had to be something supernatural that would happen. And so, when he drifted off into sleep, in verse 20, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. He had an angelic visitor that walked right into his dream and told him, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm old enough to remember a time when you didn't use the word pregnant. You didn't talk about that. I mean, I'm not that old, but 50 years ago, I would stay with my grandmother a few times, a lot of times, actually. And I remember some TV program coming on, and some lady would come on the screen that she was obviously expecting a child. And my grandmother went over and either turned it off or switched the channel and said, we don't need to watch all that silly stuff. That was her response. I remember when we were expecting Erica, And Brother Huff was trying to arrange a doctor's appointment here in London. We were in visiting, and I don't know if, you know, there was a problem or what was going on, but he wanted to arrange a doctor's appointment. He called the doctor, and Marcia heard him say, "My daughter is with child." He went totally King James talking to the doctor because he didn't want to say she was pregnant, because that was something that wasn't said. So let's just say that Mary was with child, because that's what the King James Version says. She was with child. Joseph knew about it. Joseph was troubled about it. And the angel of the Lord. Now, you remember when the angel appeared to Zacharias there about his son, John the Baptist? Well, Zacharias, even though he was afraid, go back and read the account again. He was afraid, but he just kept saying, "No, this can't happen because I'm old and Elizabeth is old," and just start offering all these excuses. "There's no way that's going to happen. We're not going to have a baby. We're too old." And then Gabriel says, and I really love this verse because he says, "I'm Gabriel. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God." And it was almost as if he's saying, "How dare you doubt me? I am Gabriel, God's archangel messenger, and I stand in the presence of God. You better get this, Zacharias." Well, Joseph didn't respond that way, but he heard the message in a dream, and the Bible says that supernatural message changed the whole direction and his whole attitude toward Mary. Amen. The Bible says he took her to be his wife, and he called the child Jesus. Most fathers, especially firstborn sons, were named after the father, but he called him Jesus because the angel Gabriel said, "Call his name Jesus because his name is his mission. His name is why he's coming. He is the Savior of the world. So call him Jesus." And that's exactly what Joseph did. His name was his message. And so he took her to be his wife. And he called Jesus Savior, Jesus. And no matter what the whispers were or what the ridicule was, and I'm sure that there were things that were said about this arrangement between Joseph and Mary, but they persisted and went right on. All they were concerned about was obeying the voice of the Lord and doing the right thing. Amen. Why? Because there was this vast world filled with sin and darkness that needed a Savior, and there is no hope for them except Jesus, the only hope. I know it's not very popular today when you say, "Well, it's only Jesus is the only way." When you talk about this exclusive message, Jesus Christ is the only way that men can be saved. All these stars and talk show people and Oprah and all these people, wait a minute. I think that there must be more than one way. More than one way, how can we exclude all of these many millions and billions of people around the world? How can we exclude them? Jesus never excluded anyone. He commissioned the church to carry the message, the salvation message, to all the world, to preach the gospel to everyone, to every person all over this world, because man is hopelessly lost. Amen. Acts 4 and 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." What is that name? The name is Jesus. And he has provided salvation for all of mankind. No other name. 1 Timothy 2 and 5. "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." I know it's a very narrow view. Some might say, "Well, that's not even American to say that people can't come to God in a lot of different ways." I didn't make up the message. I didn't declare the way. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. And it is only through Jesus Christ. So where does that leave the multiplied billions of people all around the world that have never heard about him? There are vast numbers of people, more than 7 billion people on this planet right now, approximately 750 million, or about 11% of them, are professing Christians. 11% of the 7 billion are professing Christians. About 2.6 billion, 38% of the world's population have heard the gospel, have heard about Jesus, but they have not received or responded to the message. And then there's another 3.5 billion people who have not received an adequate witness of the gospel. Most of them do not even have a realistic opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a calling and what a mission that we have to reach our world. Jesus did not come to exclude anyone. It's a gospel that is a whosoever will gospel. So for those beggars in Calcutta, for those are suffering in all types of terrible bondages and under all kinds of terrible imprisonment and sufferings around the world, they all need to hear about Jesus. They all need the gospel, and that's why he came. It wasn't just Jesus that talked about this one road. Paul preached about this one road also. And it wasn't that he was being hateful or a bigot. He was just simply saying, Jesus Christ is the only way. He is the only way. The way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Paul affirmed that message, and it was not, it was the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. The reason it is only Jesus is because he is unique. He is the only one qualified to save the world. No other man could save the world. He came into this world veiled in flesh and died the horrible death of the cross. And he came out of that grave victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and ascended into heaven, is now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and for me. There's no man ever been born of a virgin, no man who ever lived a sinless life, no man who ever did what Jesus did and died the way he did and resurrected from the dead. No man is qualified. Jesus is uniquely qualified to be the Savior of the world. Praise God. So we don't preach about any other, I'm sad for people that are bound in other religions such as Islam and many other religions of the world. I'm sad for people who haven't heard the gospel message. I want to do my part. I want to do what I can to reach out. I've told you recently how that it's on my mind. I'm thinking about it. I'm praying about, what about North Korea? What about those millions of people? Yeah, they may be getting ready to bomb us or try to bomb us. They may be getting ready to do some terrible things. I don't know. But there's a vast number of people in that country. There's a huge vacuum in North Korea. They need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray that God will raise up an army of people. And when that door opens up and the opportunity arises, that there will be those going in by the hundreds and thousands to preach to those that will be hungry to receive the message of the gospel. They need to hear about Jesus because he is uniquely qualified to save mankind. This has always been the message. It always been an exclusive message that there's only one God. Only one God. Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy might. There's nobody else. Nobody. Remember when Paul went to Athens and he noticed that this place was filled with idols? He said, well, I'm going to tell you about another God. And since you've got all these thousands of gods and everywhere I look, I see idols. Let me tell you about a God you don't know about, an unknown God. And he began to preach to them Jesus Christ in Athens. Praise God. He said there was a time of ignorance. There was a time that God winked or overlooked what's going on in this situation. But now he commands men everywhere to repent. Whosoever will believe upon the name of the Lord. It's always been an exclusive message, and it is the message that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And men can't be saved any other way. No other way, not through any other name, not through any other profession. It is only through the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when the angel appeared to Joseph and said, no, you can't call your son by your name, though every other Jewish man would likely do that, no, you're going to have to call him Jesus. Jesus, Yeshua, the Lord, the God of salvation. You have to call him that because it's not just his title. It is also his mission. Praise God. Savior of the world. Praise the Lord. And I want to be a part of it. I want to stay in the center of the will of God and the plan of God. And I would love to see everyone that's here today get involved in the mission that God has given to you to be used of the Lord to spread the light to a world that is desperately lost and in need. The vast numbers of people that are around us that God has put in our pathway so that we can share the message of the gospel with them. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the wonderful message of Christmas. And Lord, it's so much more than all of the things that we do at this time of the year. We thank you, Lord, for family. And we thank you, Lord, for the celebrations and for the music and everything, Lord, that's connected with it. But Lord, we're so grateful for Jesus and for the mission of Jesus to come into this world to save the lost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name.